This is Vatican Radio, and I am Lydia O'Kane. World leaders are continuing their discussions on the final day of the G20 summit in St. Petersburg, Russia. Divisions still remain on what sort of action to take on Syria. President Barack Obama told G8 leaders the United States has high confidence that Syrian forces used chemical weapons and underlined the need to uphold an international ban on the use of such weapons. But Russia, China and the EU are still opposed to a military solution. Meanwhile, the British member of the Caritas network, CAFOD, says that although an urgent response to the Syrian conflict is vital, the G20 must not neglect long-term crises. I spoke to the aid agency's lead economic analyst, Christina Chang. Obviously, it's been a busy few days in St. Petersburg, and CAFOD is there looking at particular issues. The argument for CAFOD is the G20 must not neglect long-term crises. Talk to us about that.
Yes, it's important that G20 leaders, whilst they're here, take the opportunity to talk about the crisis in Syria. We understand that. But we're keen that they don't use it as an excuse not to talk about the longer-term economic issues that are also causing homelessness and loss of livelihoods for millions of people across the globe. This sort of long-term crisis is equally important for them to address. So we're keen that they make the time to do so.
We should say that this economic crisis has been going on for 5 years now, and for some countries it does show no signs of getting really much better. Obviously that's a great concern.
It is, and the G20 is partly responsible, I think, for this lack of progress. What we've seen, and we saw it again yesterday in some of the documents that were released late last night, is the G20 is very good on rhetoric but not so good on implementation. They've still got a long way to go to fulfill the promises and the agenda that they set themselves 5 years ago. So we're here to see that they continue to work to deliver the sustainable, balanced and inclusive growth that they promised us.
CAFOD's been saying that you've described it as a watershed year for the G20 as it comes to the end of its first action plan on development.
That's right. They launched their first action plan on development in 2010 at the Korea summit, and we were really pleased to see that they had a focus on the impacts of the economic crisis on low-income countries and the fact that those poor countries haven't participated in the growth of previous years. So we welcomed that attention to the obstacles to growth in those countries. But we saw yesterday when they released their development outlook for the next stage of their development agenda, that they still have a lot of lessons to learn. In particular, we're concerned that they haven't focused enough on micro and small enterprises. This is where most poor men and women work, and they face real obstacles, problems with infrastructure, problems with energy, problems with markets just not working for them, and the G20 hasn't paid enough attention to their needs.
What would you say are the critical tasks that they need to address?
Well, as I mentioned, they need to focus much more on what small businesses need to do within the development agenda. And that includes things like setting up social protection systems. We know that risk is a real problem for small businesses. It stops them being successful, and social protection and safety nets really helps them to overcome that and invest in their own businesses. So that's something we'd like to see the G20 do more on. But we'd also like them to make sure that their core agenda, the stuff that they do on tax, on trade, on investment, and on financial regulation, has a development perspective. So we've been calling for development coherence to be adopted as a working principle for the G20, but sadly we haven't seen it at this summit. But we're hopeful. The Development Working Group continues working. Their next meeting is in October, so we'll continue to push for that.
Just turning back to Syria and also obviously areas of conflict, Pope Francis in his letter to the G20, in his letter to President Putin, was saying that without peace there can't be economic development.
That's absolutely right, and I think the other side of that coin is that we know that economic exclusion and growing inequality has in turn been leading to social problems and conflict in countries. So we think the two need to be addressed hand in hand. People need peace, they need good governments, and they need economies to work for them in order to eradicate poverty. Just a final point would be that the G20 needs to reach out much more to developing country governments and civil society. It doesn't have development expertise of its own, and it doesn't have the perspectives of those who represent poor men and women And I think that's why the development agenda has been a disappointment up until now. Russia was the first G20 presidency to have a civil 20 summit inviting NGOs and civil society movements to contribute to the agenda, and we'd like to see that become much more systematic input.